Blog Talk Radio.
And a very, 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 very good morning to you. Good Sunday morning. You've found your way back to the garage here at Frat House Sports for our Sunday edition of some NASCAR chat prior to our run in Phoenix this morning. You know the garage is always open on Sunday. We're always open on Sunday. So do yourself a favor, pull up a stool. Do you have some donuts? Because it's early here on Sunday morning. We're coming to you from the East Coast. And here we are, the middle of March. Are we done with snow? Are we done with winter? Boy, we can only hope so. You know, out there in Phoenix, it's sunny.
Crazy?
And I guess I am. I'm crazy for the spring. I'm crazy for springtime to get here. But in fact, we have a nice show this morning, and we're going to be joined by a special guest as we go forward. Because in fact, you know, it is it's a race day on Sunday. And, you know, we're trying to get your motors running. We hope you... Oh, yeah, buddy. I'm ready to head out on the highway. You know, our sidekick, talking about on the highway, our sidekick probably will not be able to join us this morning. He's on the highway. He's doing a crazy marathon 800 mile trip from the East Coast to the middle of the country on his two-wheeler. Now, if he's able to check in with us, he will. But Brandon, we're not sure that we're going to hear from Sidekick today. He's doing a marathon run, right, all the way out to St. Louis.
I can give you an update on that. He actually texted me this morning, and he is going to try to time one of his stops to warm up a little bit because he's found it's a little chilly this morning.
I bet it is.
On the opening legs of this trip, so... Mm-hmm. We might see a sidekick call in. So,
all right, that'd be great. Now we're going to. Here's what we want to do because I see we have our guest on the line. I want to welcome in our guest, Brandon. And we're going to welcome in. Good morning, Brian Berg. Right, Brian, you are live with us on the line. There, are you?
Yeah. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Real good, Brian. I am so thrilled to have you on with us this morning. As it turned out, Brandon, we came by Brian as a contact through our contact from last week's show. If you recall, we had Benny Fry from the RacinNationRadio.net, and he was kind enough to join us last Sunday and chat NASCAR and all things NASCAR, and he even gave us a pick for the race. And so we were able to, through that, make some contacts, and we are happy to welcome Brian Berg. Now, the first thing we want to do, Brian, to make you feel a little bit at home here, we're going to pop open a cold one for you. I hope it's not too early for you. I know you are probably, west of us. Where are you contacting us from, Brian? And give us a little background about your very, very cool website, BehindPitRow.com.
Yeah, I'm located in Schaumburg, Illinois. It's about 30 miles west of Chicago.
Okay.
And in 2011, I started writing about NASCAR for RantSports.com.
Okay.
And had some fun with that. You know, I started from scratch, didn't have a clue what I was doing, but as I did it, I paid attention to what other people who were writing about NASCAR were doing, and by the beginning of 2012, I got into NASCAR media and really got into doing it and was able to cover some races on site as part of the media, sitting in the media center. And in December of last year, I decided to go out on my own and have my own website, and that's how BehindPitRow.com came to be, and you can find me there. I unfortunately, I've been so busy this past year, I don't write half as much as I did prior to getting my own website.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun nonetheless.
Yeah, you're chief cook and bottle washer, in other words, there at the website.
Exactly.
Now, I take it then you are credentialed, and in fact, you're then able, as part of the media, to gain, you know, some access that the average fan or the casual fan obviously is not able to do. Is that right?
I do, and that's the part that was so cool when I was at Rant Sports. I was able to get credentials and be in the media center at Michigan and Chicagoland, and I met so many other people there that I was able to make contacts with that I get included in their information that they send to the other media people. And it's just fun to get stuff. And sometimes it bothers me because I'm like, oh, I should go write something about this. But
yeah, right.
I'm stuck at a family party when the email comes in. And by the time I'm going to get to it, it's not going to be news anymore.
Yeah, right. It's perhaps a little bit old news at that point. How many races, Brian, do you take in, would you say, a year that you're able to do in person? In other words, you personally attend rather than follow them as we do as fans, you know, just via the media. Because I've seen some very, you put up, obviously, you post up to not only the website, but, you know, you do put up pictures from events that you are personally attending. So I'm just curious, how many races are you able to attend a year?
Well, I started going to races in 2001, and me and my buddy, we'd go to at least two race weekends a year. And you asked number of races. Well, when we go out, the logistics of getting our butts to the track is such that we take advantage of everything that we can do. And if there's cars on the track, we're at the track. So if there's an Xfinity race, we're watching it. If there's a Camping World Truck Series race, we're watching it. If ARCA's racing, we're watching it.
Right.
Even to the point where for 5 years we went to Indianapolis for the Brickyard, we would go Thursday and see the Silver Crown race at Indianapolis Raceway Park. And we typically go two race weekends a year, which, you know, might be five, might be six races, depending on which track we choose to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been many years we've gone three.
Yeah, right. I got you. Well, it's very good to have you. And what we're going to do, we're going to pick your brain a little bit and some of your knowledge, because I believe you have certainly more than I do. Matter of fact, on this panel, I think, raise your hands. Mine's the only one up. I'm the newbie to the sport. I've only been following NASCAR for probably, seriously, about 3 years. But my crew chief over here, Brandon, you get to at least a couple races a year. That's right. Is it Richmond that you go down to every year,
yep,
Brandon?
Yeah, I've had permanent seats at Richmond International since 92.
Very cool.
That's on my bucket list. To go there.
Richmond is a great place to watch a race, especially if you like short track. It's fun. I've been to Bristol. I've been to Martinsville. I've been to Charlotte. I've been to, yeah, pretty much you name it. You know, if it's been around a while, you've probably been to it. I've been even to Watkins Glen to watch the road courses, but Richmond's
very
the one
cool.
I do the most. Dover's really close to where we live as well, so I've gone there a few times. I prefer Richmond over Dover.
You were out west, weren't you, or am I incorrect, Brandon? You had hit, did you get out to like a Phoenix or one of those out west or not?
I did not get to Phoenix, but I've been to Vegas twice. So
there you
I've been
go.
To the Vegas,
I thought so.
Vegas twice. My father has been an avid NASCAR fan, which is what led me into it. He's actually been to just about every track, and he said Phoenix is an awesome place to watch a race. So I guess the guys there are in for a good show today.
Yeah, very cool. Well, here I'm going to throw a little sideways history at you all. Today's the 15th of March, so of course, you know, I always remember this for whatever reason. You know, useless information, I'm full of it. Today recognizes what is considered to be the Ides of March, and that would be, you know, going way back to like 44 BC, you know, the assassination of the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar in 44 BC. So this date generally carries a little bit of a stigma to it. So I guess the question is, as we kick this thing off, and I'll kick it off obviously with Brian, and we'll go to Brandon, and we'll kick this around the room. Here we are. We're going to Phoenix today. We did have a race last week, and I do want to touch on that race. But the number one question is, who's going to knock off the king, and is it possible to knock off the king? And in this case, I guess I'm referring to the driver of the four car, and that would be Harvick. Harvick is hands down a favorite today at this Phoenix track, and he's running like nobody's business. Good golly, Miss Molly, what do you think, Brian? Harvick, is it just a lock? Is it a gimme that he's going to win this thing today, do you think?
You know, it's hard to bet against that. And, Harvick is going to tie the record, I believe, for the most consecutive top one and two finishes in a row, going back to last season today. So, he's got that stigma hanging over him, I guess. You could call it a curse, but it could give him something to strive for too. Put his name up there with some great people, and I don't have the drivers he'd be tied with in front of me. But
yeah, but I hear you. He kind of stinks of success right now, and it's hard not to smell it, isn't it?
You don't want to be the guy to give him the kiss of death, you know, because you'd like to see him achieve that. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a bunch of drivers that are going to challenge him. I'm picking Carl Edwards for this race.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That doesn't mean that I'm not picking Kevin Harvick. It wouldn't surprise me if they're all there. And, you know, Denny Hamlin is always been good at this track. It wouldn't surprise me to see him challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale Jr. It wouldn't surprise me to see him putting some pressure on Kevin Harvick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good. See, it's not, folks, it's not hands down. Now, I'm going to holler out to our listening audience. If you'd like to climb aboard, and we would encourage you to do so, you may feel free to do it. Pick up the phone and give us a call as we chat live with our guest, Brian Berg. I am joined by my co-pilot and crew chief Brandon here this morning. You can reach out to us 347-826-9964. Topic, the biggest topic, I guess, that kind of blew up this week, Brian and Brandon, was obviously the suspension of Kurt Busch was overturned. He has been reinstated. He is eligible, as we know, immediately. He has been running, and I would say fairly strongly, in his first time back, his first laps back of the 2015 season. He is relatively unrestricted from the standpoint of, so long as his conduct off the track is not a detriment, he can run the entire rest of the season. And the cherry on top, his eligibility for the chase has been reinstated. This has been a long and multifaceted process and story. Brian, tell us what you think, and do you think justice has been served? Do you think perhaps NASCAR might receive a little bit of pushback for appearing too lenient? What are your thoughts now that we know that Kurt is back and piloting the 41?
Well, this is what I wrote about. This is what I wrote about this week. Are you there?
Yes, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It got really quiet.
I wrote about we do that. We tend to listen. Don't worry. We're with you.
That's good. Now, this is what I wrote about this week, and I waited through this whole Kurt Busch saga, I guess you could call it. It's a it's a sad story. I don't want to really comment on the actual story because domestic abuse or domestic violence is very bad and serious. NASCAR has gotten a black eye for suspending Kurt Busch before he was even charged with a crime. But I think they had to do it just because of in the National Football League and all that happened there. And, you know, the court opinion for the restraining order, they didn't say there was domestic abuse. They basically said there might have been, so they gave the restraining order. So NASCAR had to act, and as much as that doesn't seem fair, unfortunately that's the world we live in. But you can't put the man in a purgatory. Everybody has to have a chance to get better or recover or whatever you want to call it. So they gave him an option what they would want to see to have him reinstated, which is great. Kurt Busch went and did all the things that NASCAR asked, and then the Dover Police Department or prosecutor came back and said they will not be pressing charges. So, you know, Kurt Busch, there's no reason for him to be suspended anymore. So they reinstated him, and that's the way it should be. Kurt's going to continue with whatever their program was. They didn't really outline that, which is fine. We don't really need to know what the actual program is. And he's going to continue that during the season. You know, this is all off-track activities. None of this really affected his racing last year. Well, he didn't race any this year. So I think he's in a spot where it came out about as good as it could be for Kurt. As for the championship, him being able to run for the championship, some people are up in arms about that. But you got to remember, he has to be in the top 30 in points.
Right.
Now, it can be done, but he has to have a very, very good rest of the season to get into the top 30 in points. He has 0 points right now. And not only that, he does have to win a race, and then he'll be eligible for the chase. So he's got to do those two things. And,
right.
He's got something to look forward to, and I think it's really great, and I think it showed in practice in his qualifying at the track this weekend.
Very good. Now, Brandon, I'll be honest, and I'll toss this one over to you. As Brian mentioned, under the clause EIRI, except in rare instances, and by that clause was the eligibility for the chase for the Sprint Cup, thereby extended for Kurt, I found the EIRI clause and the usage of the clause in this case, I don't know, I was a little conflicted. On the one hand, it did seem the right thing to do, but on the other hand, I don't know, perhaps it opens the door that maybe everybody's situation is unique, and therefore there will always be an exception in a rare instance, and certainly rare instance kind of defines Kurt Busch's situation. Let me ask you, Brandon, this is the right thing to do, though, right? I mean, if we're going to reinstate him and there's been no criminal, we really should let him in, right, for the whole pie. We shouldn't just let him race without contending. Is that right? Would you agree? Am I incorrect? What do you think?
I absolutely 100% agree with you. I don't think he should have been suspended in the first place. As our guest Brian just pointed out, you know, the actual wording of the document they used to suspend it was there was a more likely chance than not that he did commit, you know, abuse, and then later went on to discredit Driscoll, saying she lied during the testimony. So NASCAR, this is the way I see it. I think you're absolutely right. I don't have a problem with the exception, and he still has to comply. He still has to win a race,
right,
and he still
right.
does hit the top 30 in points. So he's
right.
not doesn't have any special rules over anybody else. So if he
gotcha.
Can't get one of those two criteria done, he's not getting into the chase. Yeah. But I tell you what, he's going to be a man on the mission. I bet within the next 5 to 6 races, you're going to see the win. That's not going to take long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, 2-3 to get, you know, back in the rhythm and working with the crew again. But I think you're going to see a win out of Kurt Busch sooner rather than later. And he'll probably, as Brian pointed out, make enough points to – he'll beat one of the back markers, get up into the top 30. I mean, Stewart missed how many last year, and he was still in the top 30. So I don't think Kurt's missed more than Stewart did last year. So it's not an unreachable thing for him. And here's why, right, I think it happened. I'll be quite honest with you. I think NASCAR – acknowledged their mistake by allowing him back in full-fledged, not right away. But I have a feeling, this is pure speculation, but everything you've read, Kurt Busch's lawyer, Rusty Harden, was building a case. And I have a feeling that NASCAR was afraid if they took him to court for, you know, preventing him to work, you know, against his, you know, based on the reasoning they did, they were afraid they didn't want to deal with the outcome of that. And I think they said, rather than take a chance and get ourselves nailed in court, we're just going to give you what you want. You're back. You can run for the chase. Have at it. And I think it was the right thing to do. I think they should have, personally, I don't think they should have suspended it to begin with. But I think there was probably a bit of a fear because, you know, Rusty Harden was very vocal in public and making comments all along in the process of the restraining order. But then after Kurt got suspended, he got, you know, suspiciously silent. And I think when you hear, you know, a high-profile lawyer like that not talking, they have something in the works.
A lot. Yeah, that says a lot, doesn't it?
So, yeah, and I think NASCAR probably would have been, you know, there is, you know, right-to-work laws in this country. And if they'd gone to a federal labor-type case with this, mm-hmm, yeah, they could have been in trouble because their evidence to keep him from working would have been very, very flimsy. Because, mm-hmm, you know, you have no criminal charges. You have, you know, a civil, you know, hearing
opinion.
That's not even, yeah, it's an opinion, right? That's exactly what it's worded, is an opinion. From a, not even a judge, he's a hearing officer within, you know, the family court, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think NASCAR wanted any parts of whatever Rusty Harden was working. And you got to think there was communication going back and forth. And I think,
yeah,
it's, and mm-hmm, I think part of him saying, yeah, I'll sign on for your program, because they knew that the minute Dover cleared him, they had, you know, everything they needed to get back in the game. So Kurt was playing good soldier and said, yeah, I'll sign into your program. I'll go sit in, you know, counseling sessions. And he probably will. You know, he'll
Which
do what
is
he has
good
to
thing.
Do.
Right. Yeah. As Brian mentioned, I think it is a good thing to continue the protocol, whatever it might be, for his own personal benefit, because there is nothing that should stop anybody from trying to be a better human being, irrespective of what your job is. Now, here's the other thing that, and kind of piggybacking on your thought there, Brandon, you know, Kurt Busch, very, very close to the end of last season, did a crew and crew chief swap through the Stewart Haas Racing stable, and they swapped crews between the 10 car and the 41 car. And at that time, Tony Gibson signed on with Kurt Busch as the crew chief. And, of course, he remains crew chief this year. Interestingly enough, and you want to talk about maybe some momentum that Kurt Busch was starting to build up, and to your point that he might really be a man with a mission right now, I took a look back, and in the last three races of the year, last year at Texas, Kurt Busch, under his crew chief, Tony Gibson, came back with a finish of 8th place at Texas. He came back with a finish of 7th place at Phoenix and 11th at Homestead, Miami. So, in fact, he and Tony Gibson had started to mesh pretty well. And he was able to run through the first of Speed Weeks this year. That is Kurt Busch, because, as we know, it was basically in the shadow of the Daytona green flag, virtually, that the announcement came down, and all at once everybody's jaw dropped. No, wait a second. Kurt Busch is not only not running Daytona, but he is suspended altogether. So it will be interesting to see if, in fact, he can pick that up with his crew chief, Tony Gibson, and get something going. I'll tell you what, men, having a look at the practice runs that the 41 car laid down yesterday, I was very impressed, because who was really right up there at the top of the list was the number 41 car and Kurt Busch. So, you know, I tend to agree with you both. I hope that the man can find some solace in the car, sort of like, you know, we'd like to see Tony Stewart, having come back from his travails, get in the cockpit, focus, and do what you do best, and that is run this thing and run this thing hard. Let me throw another one out to you, Brian, that kind of popped up this week, and it was sort of a blip from the Atlanta race a couple weeks back. And everybody kind of scratched their head and said, well, you know, geez, down there in Atlanta, there's a lot of crime. But the story of the Team Extreme and owner, operator, Jonathan Cohen, the whole team realized the theft of a trailer bringing the 44 car to Atlanta. Well, come to find out, the trailer and the vehicle were stolen. A few days later, the vehicle was recovered, but the trailer, an engine for, you know, a Sprint Cup car, and random tools valued at, I believe I read, around $100,000, has yet to be recovered. Come to find out this week, now we've got some hiccups that have popped up with Cohen in terms of settlement issues that have not been done. That actually, the one issue goes back to not racing related, a nightclub that supposedly he swindled a couple of buddies out of in trying to get funded and up and running in Manhattan. And then there was further, right behind that, like Thursday, Friday, we were reading that, in fact, the former Swan Racing is also attempting litigation against Cohen and Team Extreme for what they considered to be unfair trade practice in giving off and selling cars and owner points over to the 44 car run by Travis Guapol. What do you make of this? Is it a whole lot of nothing, or is this sort of maybe a dark underbelly that can occur with some of the small teams? Everybody's struggling for funding, everybody's struggling to find sponsorship. What's your take on the Team Extreme, and will we see that whole team fold, do you think?
First off, what a tangled web we weave.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. one minute we're sleeping in the motel and we have our truck and our trailer with our car in it, and we're going to go racing in Atlanta. And next thing you know, we don't have a truck, trailer, and a car, and we're not going racing in Atlanta. And then the next thing you know, we're being sued. Well, I don't know, that whole thing is tangled too. They said there was a warrant for his arrest, but it's actually supposedly a warrant for him to appear in court.
Right.
That is mind-blowing. And the bottom line, all these teams have outside businesses that they're trying to fund their program to go racing, their passion to go racing. And, you know, their racing program is on a shoestring, and it's tough. And the Swan Racing thing, confusing. You know, they offered to buy it, make payments out of winnings, and that whole thing is confusing because you don't win all that much money when you're that lower tier team. So I don't know how you're going to make how they intended to make the payments to begin with. It just, the whole thing is weird, and I don't know. I'd be surprised if they're at the track again.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. They may reconstitute with some other partner and show up again.
Yeah, find a way to make it. Yeah, very strange. What were your thoughts? Anything, Brandon, on that story? You know, I've been kind of following it, and as Brian alluded to, it's kind of hard to connect all the dots, but
yeah, I mean, he kind of hit it right there on the head with it. It's so confusing. It's hard to follow. It really is. You know, I just hope it all works out for everyone, to be honest with you, because, you know, these young teams give, you know, young drivers a chance to get to the track. these small teams, rather, give the young drivers a chance to get to the track. And those are the ones, you know, you'd like to see, hey, you know, like Moffitt the other week, he got a chance to ride for, fill in for, you know, Brian Vickers, who was out. You know, he goes in there and finishes eighth, and, you know, he got a chance to see what he can do. These other small teams, they're not going to give you the kind of equipment, but they at least give you some exposure and put you out on the track. So, you know, I like to see that option out there for guys. You know, that's the only way they're going to ever get to the next level. And yeah, obviously, clearly the theft of the truck was bad, but it then, it, you know, I guess it shed some light on some other unwanted issues, which is the kind of thing, you know, the teams can't deal with. And Ryan had a great point. All of them have exterior businesses. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't make a race team a business. I mean, they the old adage in racing has always been, you know, you want to turn a big fortune into a small fortune, start racing, because that's the way it rolls. You don't make money. I mean, if you win big events, you win the Daytona 500, yeah, you'll get a nice payday on it, you know. But, you know, the long and short of professional racing anything, be it cars, motorcycles, anything, you know, your sponsors, if you can get enough sponsorship to break even, you're a happy camper. But other than that, you ain't making a fortune racing cars, as a general rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless you're independently wealthy or tremendously connected through blood and lineage.
Like Menard has his father, you know. Yeah,
right, or the Dillon.
There's a few,
you know,
yeah,
the Dillon boys.
Well, Richard Childress is probably one of the few who isn't very well known for some of his other business ventures, and he's made a pretty good living racing cars. But, you know, he's a kind of an exception to the rule in the sense that, you know, he does have other things. He has car dealerships. He has other things out there. But, you know, I think he's made most of his hay actually as a race team owner. But he's one of the very few who could say that. I mean, even Rick Hendrick, who's many considers to be the king, has, I don't know, 50, 60 car dealerships. I mean, the man has money coming in hand over fist outside of racing, and it's all to support, you know, the racing is what it started with anyway. But, so he's got a great point there. And this small team, you know, this kind of, you know, stuff, it's going to make it very difficult for them to secure funding. It's going to make them very, you know, drivers will be leery of them. You know, hear that, you know, the owner of the teams have got, you know, warrants to appear in court, and anything starting to appear shady. If you had a, you know, a sponsor on this on the hook for, you know, a 2 or 3 race deal, they're not going to want to be associated with you. So this is a pretty bad blow for the little team. But Brian had a good point. Maybe they'll get a new partner, and, you know, we've seen this before, where two of the smaller teams will kind of team up and pool resources in it, you know, kind of helps them both. So,
yeah,
you know,
precisely.
Maybe not over for them.
We'll see. Now, of course, gentlemen, we're in the midst of our, you know, NASCAR goes west, right? we've headed out west last week, of course, with Las Vegas. Today, Phoenix, and we're going to be on to Fontana, California next week. So NASCAR is doing that nice West Coast swing. Last week, I mean, who ran the table appropriately enough in Las Vegas? But there he is, the guy we started the show with, Kevin Harvick. He ran the table. He gets his first win of the year. We're going to throw a holler in there about, obviously, Martin Truex Jr. He quietly snagged his third top 10 finish, running second last week. That was outstanding. Some people would like to say goodbye. Others have to say hello, Newman. There was Ryan Newman pulling in a third place in Las Vegas. And, of course, the best feel-good story of the week had to be the return of Brian Vickers to pilot the 55 for MWR. So it was a lot of feel-good stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. There were 18 lead changes last week among 9 drivers at Las Vegas. But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Harvick, right? He ran away with this thing. He led 142 laps out front. He holds the edge now in points with 9 more than the second-place driver, Dale Jr. Oh, and, you know, by the way, since November 2012, Harvick has won 4 out of the last 5 Cup races at Phoenix International Raceway. He had 2 of those with Stuart Haas. He had two with Richard Childress. And in the middle there was a 13th place. The fifth race was 13th place with Richard Childress. And interestingly enough, who won that race? But, well, Carl Edwards. And you mentioned him, Brian. We're going to go back to it. Boy, oh, boy. We're going to Phoenix. A lot of people claim this is like not only the favorite, one of the favorite tracks for Harvick going back in his own history, but it almost feels like a home track to him with all the victories of all the driver averages and that coming into PIR. I mean, holy crow. Can we count on somebody? Is there going to be a dark horse person? Can Truex do it? Somebody of that nature. You mentioned Carl Edwards. Is he the guy maybe we can put our chips on? Is Jimmy Johnson going to show up today? So let's revisit that one more time a little bit. What can we do to stop this guy? Or is it really a fait accompli?
Well, I don't think it's a given. I think he's going to have to work for it. You know, Jimmy Johnson does have the highest driver rating at Phoenix at a 114, which is pretty damn good. Anytime you get near 120 on a track, that's pretty darn good, especially when you throw in as many races, 20 races, to have that kind of a driver rating is pretty
mm-hmm.
darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Harvick with 106, I mean, he's good. And if you probably break down his 106 and see his driver ratings for the last 4 years, you'll go, holy cow, he's dominated the last 4 years. And, you know, Jeff Gordon, you can't count him out. Hopefully things will go his way and he won't have any, he won't get caught up in anybody else's issues. And then I already mentioned Carl Edwards and Denny Hamlin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a relatively... Go ahead.
Stewart's also on the list, but, you know, he has not been doing well. So I wouldn't expect him to live up to his history at Phoenix. But we'll see.
Well, they, you know, the word used to be that as the tracks and the temperature heats up, then smoke does as well. And we are early in the season. This is a very long season, as you both are aware. So, in fact, perhaps there is still time, but I would agree. It'd be nice to see Tony cobble together at least a couple top 15s or top 10s to sort of start that engine. You mentioned Gordon there. Interestingly enough, right, ironically enough, you know, irony, thy name is Jeff, perhaps. He's in what we're considering sort of the golden year on his farewell tour, but thus far it's really been tarnished, Brian. You know, we've got a couple of DNF on the record for Gordon thus far. He got an 18th place finish in Vegas. If there's an inch of unprotected by safer barrier wall on the track, it seems as though Gordon's going to be your man to find it. He referred recently to the qualifying debacle at Atlanta as a, quote, embarrassment. My goodness gracious, this is certainly not what we as fans expected from, you know, Jeff Gordon. Likewise, perhaps maybe NASCAR sitting back a little bit leery of Gordon as well. He apparently did have a meeting this week on Tuesday with NASCAR at their headquarters to discuss safer initiatives. He came back on Thursday and Friday and essentially said, well, you know, I guess in the heat of the moment I was speaking out of turn, and boy, they're trying the best they can. What do you make of Gordon? You know, everybody considered him sort of the golden boy, but right now, my goodness, I could almost see him as the first, quote, union rep for the sport if he retires and gets out of this, because he's certainly been vocal about what seems to be not right with NASCAR. What's your take on Gordon at this point?
You know, it's not hard to understand why Jeff Gordon wanted to meet with NASCAR and talk about safer barriers. I mean, geez, 2 weeks in a row, he finds the one wall that somebody thought nobody would ever crash into, and they didn't put any safer barriers in there. And, you know, it's hard not to expect him to do that. And then he goes meets with NASCAR, and NASCAR says, well, you know, and it, we don't know what NASCAR told him, but I'm sure it was something highly technical. And Jeff said, boy, you're right. You can't do that there, or, you know, that'd be, I don't know. I'm putting words into it. But obviously Jeff Gordon backpedaled a bit when he got done meeting with him, and that's fine. But as for Jeff Gordon's season, I think he's having a great season. He had some DNFs, but, you know, up until he had problems, his team is doing everything right. They're unloading off the truck. They're qualifying well. You know, if he didn't get into Danica in practice that one race, he probably would have had a better shot at that race, and I wouldn't worry about him at all.
Yeah. How about it, Brandon? I mean, we were talking last week, you know, but for some snafus, it's very possible Jeff Gordon could have conceivably gotten the pole in one or more races thus far, despite the fact that they ended with two of them as DNF and the third in an 18th place finish. This is just a hiccup, right? Come on, this is Hendrick, right, Brandon? They're going to be fine. He's going to turn the corner.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he did have the pole at Daytona. I mean, that's a pretty good way to start
the
season.
That's a big deal.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have, as Brian just pointed out, he's been running good. It's not like the car is, you know, not running well, and they're not making, you know, mistakes. It's just circumstances have caught him in a couple of these races. And, you know, that's going to happen throughout the course of the year. I think you're going to see some wins out of Jeff Gordon this year. I would totally expect him to make the chase. And, you know, I think he's going to have a good swan song to his career. I don't know if he's going to win the title in the end, but you never know. You
mm-hmm.
know, they could, Hendrick could, you know, really emphasize on him if he's, you know, in the chase at the end, and you never know. But I think it is, you know, kind of ironic, you know, that it's a little bad that he's having to have, you know, these safety issue discussions in his last year. But, you know, as you pointed out, I think, you know, if they ever do form a union in NASCAR, you might have hit the nail on the head. You might got the union leader right there.
I know.
He always has been that kind of guy.
I know. And I, you know, I'm just kind of stirring the coffee here a little bit. I mean, I kind of say that tongue in cheek, but at the same time, you know, considering a 22-year career, if there was anybody that possibly could speak to, you know, the multi sides of being behind the wheel in a funny way, this man probably could, because he really does seem to understand it from the NASCAR side. He understands it from the owner operator side, and he certainly understands it from a pilot side. But I do say that somewhat tongue in cheek. It's just interesting because in a way I kind of gave him some respect for that. Jeff Gordon kind of, he went up a notch in my opinion just by virtue of the fact that he was letting it be known that, okay, you maybe want to consider me as going out to pasture, and I appreciate all these fine gifts and all the falderall that I'm receiving as I go from, you know, venue to venue. But at the same time, let's not let that cloud what really is the focus of NASCAR, and that should be driver safety, fan safety, you know, as well as good quality product on the track. And piggybacking on that, you know, Brian France does not take too well to criticism of the sport. And I don't know if that falls under, per se, a penalty, as in like a P1, P2 kind of thing. But they don't necessarily tolerate a great deal of criticism of the sport. And so, again, I, you know, it's kind of a hats off, I guess, a hats off to Gordon for speaking his mind. Now, kind of related to that, what we're doing is we're also seeing more and more a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of working through the current rules package for 2015. And at the same time, because last year we learned there would be no independent testing by teams, but in fact there would be coordinated testing for tire purposes and open team testing under the NASCAR umbrella, we've seen some testing going on Brian, recently, and some of that occurred this week. I believe it was at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and they are actually working with already looking at the 2016 package and trying some softer tires and that kind of thing. What's your take, Brian, on the rules package thus far? You know, a decrease of downforce, a change in the rear gear shifting, and really not too much change on the front of the car, but a little bit more of an aero technology with the runs. Maybe that'll be important today at a flat track like we're going to in Phoenix. What's your take on testing this year, let's say, versus last year? And what do you like the product? Has it changed much in your opinion?
Well, so far the in my realm, the book is still open on the new package. We're gonna have to see a bunch of different tracks, a little more different types of weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so cold in Atlanta. I don't know if we really got a feel for that in Atlanta. The track surface does so much different to the tires relative to any other speedway,
mm-hmm.
that I don't think you could really judge the new aero package on Atlanta. And then you go to Las Vegas, another mile and a half speedway. Well, that's totally different too.
Right.
So I really think the jury's out on the new package. So far it looks good. And, you know, going way back to Daytona, that Daytona race looked more like a Daytona race of 10 years ago, you know, before the tandem drafting and all that. And
mm-hmm.
it was cool. I got to actually go back. I hadn't been there in 10 years, and it was really nice to see that old Daytona look about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you, Brandon. I think you would as well. The Daytona race was very, very good. I actually felt as though the Atlanta race was not quite. I didn't find it as compelling. I found a little more of the follow the leader kind of thing going on there. As I mentioned, you know, it was dominated essentially 180 laps or more were dominated by the one driver in the four car. You would say so as well. I would think, Brandon, you had mentioned last week when we had Benny, it just seemed to be a tire control kind of issue. You know, could they stay out there? Did they need to constantly come in? A lot of teams probably used up the full allotment of tires. For the Phoenix track today, Brandon, we're going to a flat track. Turn one's pretty tight. Got to control your speed going in there. You don't want to go in there too fast. You want to be able to control coming out. Turns three and four, it's a little harder to roll through the center. But being a flat track, you don't really get the speed coming off of a corner as you would with a track that had banking of 15 or 20 degrees. What do you think, Brandon, is today going to be a race of technical and equipment, or is it more of an aero race? What's your take on what you think the product is going to be, again, sort of in terms of the rules package as we know it in 2015?
Well, I think this is going to be a good test of the new package. I mean, the new package has less downforce. Less downforce on a flatter track, you know, puts it into the hands of the drivers and the steering wheel. So it'll be up to the teams to get the power to the track and the driver to control it. I think it could be a good race. Obviously, we've already talked about how it appears Harvick is going to be pretty dominant, and Brian brought Carl Edwards' name up earlier as a potential front runner as well. I think Matt Kenseth is going to make some noise today. He always runs well on these kind of tracks. You might see a Tony Stewart pop up, Kurt Busch, you know, because these are the kind of guys who can handle a car that gets a bit unruly. And that's what you might see today, because with the less downforce, flatter track, you know, you're putting it in the driver's hands. So we could see a good race today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of your, I think the cream of the crop rises to the top when you get to these guys, to these kind of tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So it's good. I'm really looking forward to it. I think Phoenix is a great track. It's a great venue, and you know, it's going to be a good test of the package. I think we're gonna see a good race. Do we see a lot of passing yet? I don't know. We'll have to see. We might see a lot of follow the leader, but we'll see. We'll see how it comes out. So far, it's been promising. It's been a good season to this point. I mean, like, you know, we talked about Atlanta, but you know, last week's race wasn't, you know, a bad race from that point of view. So
no. I would agree. I wouldn't say it was bad product. You know, we're nuts though. We're gearheads here. We love everything NASCAR, and I guess I'm thinking, Brian, you must as well, because you're trying to make a living at this stuff. Let me ask you this. I'll throw it out to both of you. We're going to essentially two primary producers of product on TV this year. It's going to be Fox. It's going to be NBC Sports. I'm going to say it outright. I don't think the TV coverage has been that great. Matter of fact, you know, with all of the commercials and that little postage stamp that they put up in the top corner for us to look at when they do their picture in picture, so we can supposedly follow the race while they cut away to commercial, I've found that to be somewhat insulting and stupid. I think the TV coverage has essentially sucked thus far. what's your take on it, Brian? Is this just what we can expect? We got rid of TNT. I thought they were the worst. You know, we finally got rid of them. We used to call it terrible NASCAR television here in the frat house. What's your take from what you've seen of the televised product? Has TV coverage improved? Not improved? It's about the same? What would you say?
All right, here's the funny thing is I was actually at Daytona, Atlanta, so I didn't get to watch those races.
Yeah, right. Good for you. You actually enjoyed the race.
and you know what? I want to go back to the racing in Atlanta because after Atlanta, I said that I thought the racing in Atlanta Motor Speedway was fantastic.
Okay.
And then Sam Edwards on the Racing Nation report show pointed out that no, it was follow the leader. And then I started running the race back through my head, and I realized that the top five cars more or less were following the leader, and on TV that's probably what it looked like. But
yes,
but from sixth on back, a lot of times they were racing two and sometimes three wide, and that was incredible. And, in fact, at one time, the three Roush cars were racing one another. And I'm looking up, I'm like, wow, imagine that. They're all, and they're alone. Their cars racing one another. Three wide.
Anyway, no, I agree with you. I mean, some of the compelling features of racing, and those of us that follow it, are not just the front-running cars. Clearly, they're going to be, as you mentioned, those battles that go, you know, to like, you know, the battle for 10th, the battle for 6th place. You know, maybe that battle in the back, you know, 15, and folks that are moving. And, wow, look at so-and-so has moved up four spaces since the restart. And we enjoy that. There's no doubt about it. And it's hard to have 100% of that every race. There's no two ways around it. But at the same time, even watching like Xfinity, the race last night, which I was able to take in the last about 40 laps, we started to see a little more shuffle up. But sort of a la Vegas the week before with Harvick in the Cup car, or Dillon, who ran, you know, for Xfinity, even last night for a great portion of the race, it was Logano out front. Nobody could touch him, even on the restart.
Yeah, Logano had him coming from fourth,
right off the hauler. You know, the 22 was just dominant, and it just seemed like nobody could touch him. And so I'm hoping.
I don't think Logano could have beat Logano last night.
yeah, I hear you. And I, you know, it was funny. I mentioned up on the race thread that was running through Racing Nation radio last night. I said, well, here we go. We got Keselowski, you know, calling it. He was the color analyst call the Xfinity race. Is he going to call a win for Logano? And, well, sure enough, didn't he preside over Logano's win last night? So, well, yeah, that was okay. It was a lot of fun. On a scale, let's say, Brian, of 1 to 10, how would you rate, you know, last week then? If 1 being first and 10 being worst, how would you give that race out in Las Vegas a rating?
You know, Las Vegas, it was nothing really special about Las Vegas. You know, I'd give it a 4. It wasn't really a dud, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough. I think I've watched too much NASCAR races to even grade them at this point.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you want to pick a look back in your head and go, well, what race would be a 10, for instance, the worst race that you've ever had? And then I would take that all the way back to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where they could run maybe 10 laps and then they'd have to change tires. I mean, that qualifies as a true outright stinker.
Yeah, man. I appreciate your candor. Boy, I kind of agree with you. What about it, Brandon? How'd you like Las Vegas last week? You know, again, 1 being best and 10 being worst. How would you?
Brian hit it about perfect. Four was the number that was in my mind as he set it out. It was entertaining. I didn't see anything that was not. It was, you know, good flow, good competition. I mean, you know, yeah, you're always going to have, you know, certain guys out in front and have a handful, you know, that are, you know, competing for the win, but you know, they're not all going to be nail biters, but it was a good race. One thing I'll add to you with the TV coverage, and I think you were kind of hitting at it. It just seems like they're going to too many commercial breaks now. It's like Fox all of a sudden took the model from TNT, and you know, I don't understand why they can't just run the race, show the race. When there's a caution, get your commercials in. In other words, we don't need to see every machination on pit road. Go get your, you know, 6-8 commercials out of the way while it's under caution, and then recap everything when you come back, and let's not miss racing, and let's not miss good stuff, or try to watch it in a little square in the upper corner. But you know what I mean? I think that's where they're missing the boat with it, is, you know, they seem to have these every 10 to 15 minutes. You know, they're going to run a batch of commercials no matter what the heck's going on the track. It's irrelevant. You know, and I think that's where they're kind of missing it, I think, with the TV right now.
I want to add something on the commercials, though. And I've been analyzing, because I hear people complaining about all the commercials. Pay attention throughout the season as you go to different races, and you will find that the actual amount of time of commercials isn't much different. You know, it might be 4 minutes at the longest, maybe 5. But because the track's shorter, you're going to miss more laps. Like when we go to Martinsville in a couple weeks, when they go to commercial, you're going to be like, holy shit, I missed seemingly a third of the race. And you really didn't. It's just the track is just so small, you're going to miss so many laps.
Right.
Whereas Daytona, you know, you go to commercial for 5 minutes, you might miss 3 laps.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, right. I get what you're saying. By comparison, relatively speaking, that's a huge track compared to the smallest track. Well, all right, real good. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're getting close to the top of the hour. Boy, this has been fun having you chat with us, Brian, and I really appreciate you coming through. What I want you to do is go ahead and give us your pick for the winning driver before we let you get out of here. And prepare yourself for race time, and then follow that up, piggyback that up again with how our listeners can find you via the internet, via maybe social media platforms that you're out with. Give us the synopsis on how we can track down Brian Berg and Behind Pit Row. But who's your winning driver? If you had to pick one, who's it going to be today taking the checkered?
I picked Carl Edwards to win today.
There it is, the 19.
I picked the 19 car. I picked him last week, too. I think he had a momentary lapse of thought or something and forgot the lift and got into Kane last week, and it ruined what was going to be a very good day for him.
And Kane.
I'm, and Kane, and I'm thinking eventually he's gonna, you know, keep his head together and finish a whole race, and he's gonna win today. You can find me at behindpitrow.com.
Good.
And what I would like your listeners to do is go to the behindpitrow.com, and on the left you can enter in your email address.
Good.
And
okay.
That list does not get shared with anybody, and you enter that email address, and anytime I write something, you'll get a nice email with a synopsis and the link to it, and then you can go read what I write. During the race, though, you could follow me on Twitter, at Brian, the underscore symbol, one, junior one. And I will be in on the Racing Nation Net Facebook page during their race feed this afternoon. I'll weigh in there, too.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Wow, it's been a pleasure. Any final question for our guest, Brandon?
No, it was a pleasure having you on, and you know, you clearly are very good at knowing our sport here in NASCAR. So keep up the good work, and your webpage is one of the better ones out there. I'll give you props on that.
Oh, great! Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I had a great time.
Well, that's great. I'll be looking for you. The way we found you, of course, was via jski.com. So you know, props to you as well there, because I see. When you do writings quite often, they do show up on the jski.com listing. And, of course, that's where I go to. That's one of my go-to sources to find, you know, daily news from all over, you know, the country, all about the sport of NASCAR. So very good. And listen, we're going to keep you in our tickler file if we can. Maybe we'll be able to reach back and chat with you again, Brian. You know, let us know if perhaps the next time you're going to be on the road, appearing, in fact, at one of the events, maybe we'll be able to reach out and chat with you either before that week or following that week of your next event live with NASCAR. So once again, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll hopefully be in touch with you, you know, via Facebook, Twitter, and looking for your constant updates at behindpitrow.com. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thank you.
Very, very, very good stuff, Brandon. That's such a pleasure to have. That's a pleasure to have a guy that knowledgeable with us, right? I mean, really.
Yes, it is.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff there. Here we are, top of the hour. It's 12 noon. How you feeling? You feeling good, Brandon?
Yeah.
We've got a few more minutes.
Yeah, ready
chat.
For some racing later today.
Yeah, it should be a good time. Weather is nice in Phoenix, sunny, and, you know, 80s, I would imagine. You know, track temperature is going to get way, way up there. Probably, you know, track temperature is probably going to reach near 100 once they get rocking and rolling. Anybody out there, if you're listening and you would like to climb aboard, please feel free to do that. 347-826-9964. That's the way you can climb in with us and tell us what you think about today's event at coming up at PIR. It should be a pretty exciting time. I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know. Should we jump over, maybe jump over the pit wall? I threw a whole bunch of topics. This is what I do. I bring more information than we're ever going to have time to discuss on our show, because I don't want any of us to feel as though, well, geez, what do we say now? Any item that jumped out at you that you wanted to make a comment about from over the pit wall this morning? You know, one of the things, I mean, we could obviously chat whose birthday it is here in March, or what do you think about the fact that we can't seem to find a sponsor for the Pit Crew Challenge, Brandon? Now there's a piece of sort of like some, you know, some fun. Boy, it's 2+ years. Now, that used to occur at the All-Star race. Is that right?
Yep. They had a specific competition that would, you know, basically highlight the pit crews and how fast they can change pit, you know, tires and gas. And there were specific rules, and they were graded on, you know, everything from, you know, how tight all the lug nuts were to – you know, lots of other stuff too. And it was always a fun competition. And
right.
It's a shame that they can't get, you know, the sponsorship behind it.
Yeah,
don't know what the issue is. I mean, they used to actually make a little TV show out of it. I mean, it'd be something you'd see on like a Fox Sports 1, you know, mm-hmm. on a Saturday afternoon or something. It's something fun to watch, you know. I'm surprised they don't do it anymore.
Yeah, now that was at Charlotte most recently. Am I right about that? Do I have the right track? Was it Charlotte Motor Speedway, right?
Did
that they
around
would do
the
that?
It was part of the All-Star
part
festivities.
Of the All-Star,
yeah, the All-Star
Week.
Yeah.
And the sponsor actually had been Sprint. Of course, you know, Sprint, a la the title sponsor of NASCAR's Cup Series, you know, the Sprint Cup Series. It was Sprint, and evidently they pulled out. And I don't know. I mean, it's funny. All at once we realize there is no we, W-E. There is no we in team. But let's be honest, you know, whether it be, you know, as we mentioned with Atlanta, being a tire control issue, or whether it's a fuel and making the right fuel window and doing pit stops based on fuel, there's no two ways around it. The success of pilots has everything to do with the crews and the crew chiefs and the speeds. And it's fun to watch during the live events to see how quickly, oh, you know, here comes, you know, give me a driver name, you know, here comes Larson. Larson's rolling through. Okay, he makes his pit stop, and we're watching the countdown. Oh, and he gets two left side tires and a splash it and gas, and he's gone 8-point-something seconds. And I sit back and just, I'm astounded. And I think back to, you know, what was so fun and popular in that Pit Crew Challenge. And to me, I think it's a shame. You know, NASCAR claims they want to do the right thing. They want to drive new people to the sport. They want to, you know, as you say, Brandon, offer another opportunity to get on national television and present their product. And boy, oh boy, I don't know. I don't know what you folks out there think, but Brandon and I think it's a crying shame that they don't have the Pit Crew Challenge, and I think somebody should step up and throw a few bucks their way and bring that whole thing back. I don't know. Anybody have a thought? 347-826-9964. Call us up and call us out. Now, we have a few minutes. We're going to get into some, you know, a little bit of our kind of BS session. We're going to talk some fantasy, and we want to talk a little bit of Eat My Dust and maybe a little bit of trash talk. I believe we have our own Frat House Mike. Frat House Mike was going to be able to help us out. I believe they'd give us an update. NHRA kicked up again this weekend, and in fact, I mean, where are we? We're down in Florida for the Gator Nationals. Okay, Frat House Mike, I'm going to set you up here. Hope it's not too early for you. Are you with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this morning? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sound like sidekick there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Am I muted? You got to give me a good sidekick. Am I muted?
Yeah, really. Really. Am I on? Am I on? Is this thing on?
Quiet. Numbskulls, I'm broadcast.
Boy, oh boy. It seems like forever since we've seen any drag racing at all, I got to tell you. It's been 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. February 22nd was the last time we saw any, and that was out in Phoenix. And, yeah, here we go. 3 weeks later, we are we're down at the Gator Nationals in Gainesville. And, if anybody saw, it's gotten wild already just with qualifying in the past day or so. The video that I put up yesterday of Larry Dixon in his
scary
fuel dragster, holy
scary
smokes.
Scary.
Absolutely incredible that guy walked out of that car. That car broke in half in midair.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God.
That was
one
of the most scary-looking ones we've had in many years.
Yeah,
he was leading in that qualifying heat. He was ahead. And all of a sudden, I don't know what caused it. I'm going to be looking forward to hearing today on the television coverage exactly what caused that problem. But it just appeared that all of a sudden the car completely lost control, flipped up in the air, and broke in half. Oh, absolutely incredible. Believe it or not, the guy is running today. He's 11th on the ladder in Top Fuel, believe it or not. Yeah, incredible.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought of Antron Brown, I guess, because, you know, some of the most spectacular wrecks and that kind
yep.
of thing, where you didn't expect a pilot to walk away. Kind of, wow. When I saw that yesterday, it was like, my goodness. You're right. It's just amazing to see somebody walk away from a wreck of that nature.
Yep.
But what else can you tell us? How do we look? How does it stand? We're going in two heats again today, right? Today's the final.
Oh yeah, today's our we got finals today. And let's see, just to kind of recap from 3 weeks ago, in pro stock, it came down between Roger Brugden and Erica Ender Stevens. There's Erica again, going for the final. She didn't win it 3 weeks ago. Roger Brugden won that one. In funny car, Matt Hagen took the second one 3 weeks ago over Dale Worsham. And in Top Fuel, boy, Tony Schumacher, he has looked really, really strong this season so far early on. Albeit he's not leading right yet, but he has looked really strong. Tony Schumacher won 3 weeks ago over Doug Kaleda. But going into today's final rounds, the pro stock ladder is a little bit interesting looking. Because, first of all, they're only slotting 15 cars. There is no 16th car. You know, we talked a little bit about this, and I really, really believe that sponsorship, particularly at the pro stock level, is becoming more and more difficult. And I think you're seeing it right here. The fact that there are only 15 cars slotted in this particular final, you know, I don't know if it's because it's all the way out west, whether you'll start to see that kind of thing change up as we move east. You know, perhaps maybe it's a transportation issue. But interesting, number one on the ladder in pro stock this week, Chris Bagaja, huh?
Huh?
Yeah, really, who is this?
Huh?
Yeah. Jason Lyons, number two. Brogdon is in there at number three. Shane Gray, number four. Where is Erica? She's seventh on the ladder. Over in Funny Car. Well, you know, I'm going to love this one. The Cruiser is number one on the ladder. Cruz Pedregon up there, number one. He's got the number one spot. Number two, Del Worsham. Number three, John Force. And number four is Tim Wilkerson. John's gotten off to a slow start so far. This season, he's right now underneath the line. He's listed 11th in total standings. Matt Hagen, who has been very, very strong, right now 7th on the ladder going into today. Fast Jack Beckman, number 5. Let's see, where are we going? I'm going over to did I make a mistake? Oh no, there we go. Top Fuel over in Top Fuel. Sean Langdon has got the number 1 spot. Spencer Massey, number 2. Doug Kaleda is number 3. And Tony Schumacher again, number 4. I'll tell you that Top Fuel, Antron Brown, by the way, number 6, and
mm-hmm.
Brittany Force, number 7. But that Top Fuel ladder right now really looks an awful lot like the leaderboard. I mean, that the way I just ran them down there is pretty much the way the leaderboard right now in Top Fuel is looking. Good for Lee Pritchett for being number 5 on the ladder in Top Fuel this week. But there you have it. That's where we got going. I'm not sure. Brandon, do you have the time on what time coverage will be today? Will that be a little bit earlier, perhaps, because it's in
right, we're East Coast,
Florida?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope it is. I'm going to double-check it, and I'll let you know shortly.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure I'm hoping it's around the 7:30 area.
Yep.
You know, as I've said before, I wish NHRA and ESPN could get together on a normal schedule so we didn't have to always – you know, play this guessing game as to, well, what time and which network.
Yeah, really.
You know, I'd like them to be consistent more.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to have them tandem. In other words, you know, we finish up the NASCAR event, and wouldn't it be great if we could then, you know, at least here on the East Coast, just go ahead and tune right in?
It does appear we'll be able to. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern time, so I think we'll be able to go from, I think, the green flag in Phoenix is about 3:30 Eastern, so that should just about be about right timing. We'll have maybe a little gap in between, but not much, because I think it should be about right.
Well, there you go.
Awesome.
And can't we just get in the running car?
Well, it sounds like we'll be able to.
I don't know if Larry Dixon's saying that today, but after today, we get another week off, and then we come back in 2 weeks, and we'll be at Charlotte on March 29th. So we get today's Gator Nationals out of the way, and then we're off for a week, and then we come back in 2.
All right, very cool. Very cool. Now, I believe, do we have our own sidekick with us? Did
I think
sidekick manage to Mr. Sidekick, good morning.
Live from the Iditarod.
Live from the Iditarod.
I bet it is, man. Dear God, is it freezing or what?
It's like 38 degrees.
Oh, man. Jeez.
How many shades of purple are your fingers by now?
I just got feeling back, actually, while I was waiting on hold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, good Lord.
Are you regretting this yet or what?
Nah.
All right.
Nah.
Gotta love it.
I'm regretting. I'm regretting passing up the last rest stop, because the one after it was closed.
Oh no!
God. Oh, adding insult to injury.
So, but I'm in.
How's
Somerset.
Everything going for you so far?
Where are you at this point?
The little tune-up on the bike we did holding strong for you.
Yeah.
Good.
So. It definitely don't like the cold weather, though, that's for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
I come in, I warm up, I go out, it cooled off. It doesn't want to run.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, listen, we're pulling for you here. It's sort of like, you know, if you were doing some kind of marathon, you know, we're all sitting here, you know, at Frat House Sports, and we're pulling for you, Sidekick, to make this marathon run. And, you know, our thoughts are with you, man. You know, good luck and safe travels as you go. And, thank you for finding 5 minutes to call in and chat with us. Obviously,
what town are you in right now, Psychic?
What's that?
What town are you in?
Somerset, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Wow, you're pretty far out
about,
there.
Yeah, I'm about 240 miles into my 800-mile trip.
Okay.
So, and apparently I didn't realize, but there's actually, if you do 1,000 miles in 24 hours and you can certify that, there's actually a certification you get called the Iron Butt.
Wow.
I bet you do.
So,
is it worth an extra 200 miles?
Well, and I'm not documenting it, so.
I was going to say, you know, leave it to Sidekick to find some certification. It's probably on Foursquare or something.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look into it, though. I may have to try it here before too much longer. I'll pick warmer weather, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
But,
yeah, well, today's going to certainly serve as good training, I guess, for you to do that. We're going to chat a little fantasy and a little bit of maybe some trash talk. And, you know, we've got our own little contest that we go here with the Frat House Sports Eat My Dust Picks, in which we've asked all the members, Brandon, Sidekick, Fred House Mike, and myself, to, you know, choose essentially the winning driver, but you get some points if your driver comes in the top five. And I just thought I would bring us up to date real quick. Brandon's still leading after three races. He's got 7 points. Frat House Mike got himself 4 points last week. That puts him in second place. I picked up a couple points last week. That puts me tied with Frat House Mike in second place with 4 points. So Brandon 7, Frat House Mike and I are 4, and Sidekick has 3. Come on, Sidekick, you gotta. We're pulling for you. You're our leader here in
NASCAR.
No, we're
not. Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice, Todd. I'm trying to be nice. And of course, who was our race winner? But well, once again, Sidekick. Sidekick put it all together last week and wound up, you know, taking the top spot cumulatively in our 3-week fantasy. Yeah, cumulatively sits at the top with, about 800 points or so of our Frat House NASCAR Fantasy League. So yep. I guess who's close to the board here? I don't know. Can we find the sound? That's it. Thank you. I think Brandon or Fred House Michael hit me up there. Thank you very much. We're going to kick it off. Come on, Sidekick. Who's our winning driver, do you think? Who do you like today out in Phoenix?
Well, my Eat My Dust pick is going to be Kevin Harvick. I mean, the guy's on the pole, and 4 of the 5 last races, he's won there. So, I mean, you know, that's almost a gimme there.
Gotcha.
So, now, as far as the Sidekick fantasy picks, we're not doing too good in sidekick land. We're I think on the roster we're still above Stenhouse Mike, but we're back in the 20s. We're riding back there with Danica Patrick, you know what I mean?
Oh no.
But since I'm a little cold and I'm on my cell phone,
yeah.
I did send over to Brandon the picks. Mm-hmm. If Brandon could
I'll give you a rundown. The sidekick team this week is Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the 88 car, Jimmy Johnson in the 48, Kevin mm-hmm. Harvick in the number 4, of course, mm-hmm. and number 18, David Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's going with number 34, which is David Reagan's regular front row car. I think Moffitt is driving that car.
That's
now, right,
correct.
There?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That would be Mr. Moffitt.
Right. Yeah, with Mr. Harvick winning and Chevrolet. And Mr. Sidekick's other team, his team that happens to be leading the pack,
yeah.
we got it's similar but different because we got Jimmy Johnson on it and Harvick, but he's going away from Junior and got Logano and the same David Reagan. And I believe 62 is Brendan Gaughan with number 4 winning and Chevy as well. So those are Sidekick's picks. Both of his teams.
All right, very good. So Eastbound and Downers and Spring Rubber got loose in the rear. Okay, so now we've got those two. We've got those two listed for official balloting. All right, go ahead, Brandon. Why don't you share up if you'd like? Who do you like? Who's going to eat your dust this week?
Well,
who's going to bring it home for you?
You know, it's funny. Harvick was my main choice, and I have a feeling everybody's going to pick Harvick, so it's kind of leading me to think I'm thinking my second choice might be a smarter choice for the game, but I'm going to stick with Harvick because that's who I picked in all the fantasy stuff, and I like it to match. I don't like rooting against myself, so I'm going to go with Harvick because I think, as Sidekick pointed out, he's just dialed in here. I think it's like 5 of 6, the last 6 races, he's just, you know, the man. My team is pretty much the same as it was. I had to make a slight change because Reagan Smith's no longer filling in for Kurt Busch. So I'm going with Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, Keselowski, David Reagan, and I'm going to a fan of the frat house in Cole Witt. And I'm picking Harvick and Chevy to win.
Got it. All right, we gotcha. Frat house Mike, what do you like today? Who's going to do it?
Well, gentlemen, I got to tell you, I've got a very,
you
very
strong
team. You
feel good about your roster?
Yeah, I got a very strong team here today.
This one's a winner.
I think we've heard this someplace.
You wait and see.
This one to the window.
This, yeah, exactly. Book it. Book it. Okay, this team. This
obviously,
team right
we've
got
to do a better job.
This team right here is bringing it home. All right, I'm only 600 and some points down. I think I'm in 30th place out of 29 teams, and this team is going to put me at the top. As far as who am I picking? Well, I'm gonna be right with our guest, Brian. Despite the fact Carl Edwards had a momentary lapse of thought, is what Brian said last week. I'm going to count on the fact that Carl doesn't have that this week. I'm going to go with Carl Edwards, This strong fantasy team I got, like, you, listen, let me run this down for you, and if you don't think this is a winning team, I don't know what, you know, you're smoking dope or something.
Okay.
Carl Edwards, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and David Reagan. That's a strong team.
That is a strong team.
We're going to see.
It's basically the same team I had last week, and it didn't,
right.
didn't do anything.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. Listen, because that's part of the fun of this. I mean, if you're seeing some increased value in your drivers, you know, from one week to the next, it pays to hang on to those drivers, and chances are good that, you know, for the value, hey, you might hit on. You might actually pick it up. All right, I'm gonna kind of really just throw my monkey wrench in it because, Uncle Mark, I'm just terrible at this stuff. I enjoy it, but I'm terrible at it. Eat my dust pick. I'm going completely off the rails here. I'm going with the 41 car today. I like Kurt Busch. I really think he has run very, very strong in both practices yesterday, especially the second practice, which is going to replicate very closely today's race conditions at out at Phoenix. So I'm going a little off the rail, and in a funny way, it might be divine justice if the 41 somehow managed to get a win today. Some folks, the conspiracy people, would say, well, the fix is in. See, that's NASCAR. They've decided that it's going to be Kurt Busch, you know, to make reparation for, you know, suspension. But that's who I'm going with first and foremost for the Eat My Dust. Otherwise, for my regular fantasy team, I'm going with the 4 car. I will be going, obviously, with the 41 car. I do like the 88 car today. I'm going to sit with the 18 car. He's seen a nice uptick in his value since I picked him up week one. And my back burner, I'm going with the 46 of Michael Annette. Now, Michael Annette has not had quite the same success thus far as he did last year when he was piloting the number 7 car. But I'm gonna roll the bones with Michael Annette. The winning driver is going to be the 4. That's who I'm planning for. And obviously, I'll stay with Chevy for that as a result. So that's my crazy fantasy roster. But I do like the 41. I'll be curious to see how the man fares today. Go ahead. We need a Bush to win. And so it's got to be Kurt. It's kind of a forced choice. All right, gentlemen. Who's got a final thought? Anybody? We want to wish our sidekick very good luck, though.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Safe travels and try to keep warm.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's, you got to be... you're braving the elements. Hopefully you get a little sun on the way, though, because I will say from, you know, my own rides that once the sun comes out, it just naturally feels warmer. So hopefully you drive into some sun. We don't have much here today, so hopefully you'll find some.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of this, you know, what, forsaken state. I was kind of hoping to be through West Virginia, maybe in Ohio, as Frat House Mike's like to say. But I've been having to stop too often to get warm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but
that's smart.
Yeah,
once, be smart.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's what, you know, ain't no use in me getting all busted up on this ride. So,
right.
You know, it's going to be enough wear and tear, just the ride part. But, you know, once I get on the far side of Ohio into Indiana, it gets up into the 50s, and by the time I get in St. Louis, it's almost 70.
Wow,
awesome!
So
well,
I just gotta kind of get through
persevere.
The mountains here and
yep, persevere, you know, and get to the other side.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's all
then
the
I
more
might
reason
start enjoying it.
That's all the more reason to be hauling ass at about 80 miles an hour.
I let me tell you. I've been doing about 80, 90. And the wind chill,
oh,
not to mention there's probably about 30, 40 mile an hour wind gusts.
Right.
So I'm just getting bounced all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And the wind chill at that speed, there's no amount of layering that you can do that cold does not bite through. Let me tell
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm layered up to the hilt. So, you know, I was expecting it to be cold, but man, it is cold. So
well, yeah, just to piggyback,
you know.
Piggyback what Brandon said. Be safe there, Dave, sidekick. We're counting on you, and you know, keep us updated as you travel, as you continue to travel west, and obviously holler when you know you're just about home, and you know we'll be pulling for you. I've got to clean it up and wrap it up here. We've got about 60 seconds left. Gentlemen, I do want to thank our very, very special guest, Brian Berg, who joined us today for some fun NASCAR chat. Please look him up at behindpitrow.com. Some great, great stuff over there, all kind of NASCAR-affiliated blogs and great postings and photos. I also want to thank Sidekick coming to us from the road. Godspeed and successful drive there, Sidekick, for your 800-mile journey back to St. Louis. We want to thank Frat House Mike for jumping in this morning, giving us his picks and the update of Gator Nationals for the heats that are going to continue and the finals today down in Florida. And as always, Brandon, thank you so much, my crew chief and co-pilot, for joining me this morning. Folks, enjoy the race. You get out there. Settle yourself out in Phoenix, and we're going to come back to you next week. So please join us next Sunday at 11 a.m. and we will talk about all of the NASCAR results that have occurred this afternoon. Enjoy the racing. Boogity, boogity, boogity. And let's go racing, boys. We'll catch you all next Sunday.
Yeah.